We have so much to be thankful for. The song we just sang was a lot of that, that we have salvation. Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 100. Pastor Faez is not here today. He's taking a well-deserved and needed break today. So my name's Tommy, and I'm one of the pastors here, so I'm speaking. And we're going to look at Psalms 100 this morning. Very well-known psalm, only 5 verses long, all right? So it's kind of a short psalm, but so much is packed into those 5 verses. I was trying to look and see who the author was. Some people say Moses. Most people believe it was King David that wrote this. And as Josh mentioned, we're going into Thanksgiving week. It's a day set aside where we can gather with our family and our friends and eat that big meal that we all feel later, all right? And so we're going to do that this week. And but mainly it's a time where we can set aside really more than just a meal. It's a time that we set aside to thank God, to give him thanks for what he's done for us, for not just the food, but all of his blessings. And so today, I want us to look at these 5 verses, and we can be thankful for what we're going to look at today. Long before the pilgrims back in 1620 were given thanks, the children of Israel were giving thanks in what they called their Feast of the Tabernacle, which lasted 7 days. In fact, it still goes on. They still do this even today. But if you remember in the scripture, many times in the Old Testament, something great, momentous thing, some great moment thing happened that God had done, and they would take stones and they would stack rocks or stones together to mark this event. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, Samuel is talking to the Israelites, and he says, look, if you will turn your heart back to God. They were battling the Philistines, and they were getting beat in these battles over and over, and they had a fear of them. And so Samuel says, he was the judge of the day, and he said, if your hearts will turn back to God, then you stop worshiping these false idols, God will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the people did that. They said, we will do that. We will quit worshiping these false idols. We will turn our hearts back to the one true God. And so Samuel goes out and makes a burnt offering to God. The men go out to battle, and God gave them a victory. When they got back, Samuel takes a big stone, and he sets it up among them, and he names the stone Ebenezer. You ever heard that? Sometimes we sing that in a song, and we're like, what is that talking about? Well, it was the name of a stone, and it means this: till now, the Lord has helped us. The Lord is our helper. In Joshua chapter 4, a very well-known story, Joshua leads them across the Jordan River on dry ground into the promised land. When they get to the other side, God tells Joshua to have one man out of every tribe, 12 men, to go back into the riverbed, pick up a large stone, bring it back, and he says, stack those stones as a memorial for what took place today. This great event that God did in your life, and you crossed over this Jordan River on dry ground. And he says this, the Lord says, when your children see these stacks of stone, it says, when your children ask, what did these stones mean? You can tell them the story. So when somebody walked up and said, hey, Dad, what are those stones stacked up there? Well, son, let me tell you what happened here many years ago. And they could tell them the story. Now, you probably have stories in your life that you could look back and say, God did something in my life there. God made a change in my life there. God worked a miracle maybe in your life there. It might have been your day of salvation, or it might have been when God brought your spouse into your life and you were married. It might have been a spiritual heart change. It might have been the birth of a child that came into your life. Just things that you look and you say, those were great moments in my life. My mom has told me about the day I was born. I was born in Nashville, Tennessee, January 23rd, and my mom said, it was a blizzard that day. It was a blizzard that day. And I was born, and she said, the next day, they still had no name for me. I guess they looked at me and said, what do we call it? I don't know. But they had no name for me, and they were trying to figure out a name. And my mom's sister, through the snow, got up there to visit to see her sister and the baby. And they started talking about names, and my mom never really told me about different choices that they had, other names, but she told me how I got my name Thomas. They couldn't think of a name, and they were going back and forth, and finally my aunt said, you're in St. Thomas Hospital, why don't you just name him Thomas? And my mom's first response was, and she's told me this, she said, my first response was, oh, I don't want to name him Thomas. Because I knew a boy in school named Thomas and I couldn't stand him. But she did anyway. And so she named me Thomas. And that's how I got my name. And then I thought about that later. When I was born in Nashville, there was two hospitals. The one I was in was St. Thomas. The other one was named Baptist. And I thought, good night. What if I had been in that hospital and they didn't? I would have been named Baptist Stone. I mean, that would have been terrible. I'd have been explaining that whenever we went. No, I wasn't born at the church. I would have been having to explain that one. Things in our life happen that are great things when God does something. When the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, and we're talking about gratefulness and thankfulness today, he gives in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he gives Timothy this list. And he says, this is a list of people who are a wicked culture. People that are wicked live this way. And he gives a list of several things. Right in the middle of that list, you know what word is there? Ungrateful. Ungrateful. Paul said, you want to know a people that's a wicked people? It's people that are ungrateful about what God has done in their life. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul says, a perverse culture are people who refuse to give thanks to God. Romans 1:21, look at this verse. He says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks or give thanks to him. But they become futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So Paul says, giving thanks is very, very important. Now today we're going to look at Psalm 100, and we're going to take it phrase by phrase or verse by verse and see what this psalmist says about us being thankful. Charles Spurgeon, I was just studying some commentaries, and Charles Spurgeon said, this is the only psalm that gives the inscription a psalm of thanksgiving. Sometimes you look in your Bible and it'll say Psalm 1 and it'll say what it's about. That was put in there by someone. And then you have the scripture. He says, this is the only psalm that's called a psalm of thanksgiving. Well, I was trying not to doubt his word, but I got my Bible and I started at 1 and I just started flipping through and saying, surely there's another one that says a psalm of thanksgiving. But he was right. It'll teach me to doubt Charles Spurgeon. All right? He was right. It's the only psalm that has an inscription, a psalm of thanksgiving. So someone said this, it's kind of like a guide for us to give thanks. So let's look at these five verses. We're going to read all five of them, and then we'll break it down. Psalm 100, this is what it says. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. Let's look at verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. When it comes to worshiping God, you know what this psalmist says? He says, turn the volume up. It's not something that you just whisper. He says, a joyful noise. Turn the volume up. Something has happened amazing in your life. Now shout it out. Let's worship God by giving him praise, a joyful noise. Have you ever been to an event when something maybe great happened? And everybody just went crazy. And they started clapping or shouting or cheering or whatever. You've probably been to a sporting event like that. I remember when I was in college, one of my friends loved the Miami Dolphins. He was from Miami. He loved the Miami Dolphins. And when he came back from Christmas break, he was telling me, he said, I went to the Miami game. And he's telling me he was all excited they had beat somebody. This is back in the Dan Marino days. How many of you know who I'm talking about? Anybody? All right. Okay, good. All right. That means you're old. Okay. Dan Marino was the quarterback, one of my favorite quarterbacks. He had a great arm. Man, he could throw the football like a bullet. Right before the half, the last play before the half, the clock's running down and they run one play. And they ran what was called, what we would call a trick play. Now, if you're know football, you know it's some different, you know, play. This is what happened. The receiver on the right went down and out. Marino threw him the ball and the receiver catches it. But the running back was running out too. The receiver caught it, pitched it back to the running back who was running full speed. He catches it and went right down the sideline for a touchdown. Tom, my friend Tom, said the last play, he runs all the way in for a touchdown, and he said the place, the stadium in Miami went crazy. He said they were standing up and everybody was cheering and shouting. He said they went crazy. He said the players ran off the field and they kept cheering. He said, you're going to think I'm exaggerating. He said they cheered almost the entire halftime. They didn't sit down. It went on for minutes. Everybody was so excited at that play they had saw. They just did not stop cheering. I tell you something that I like. I like when I'm in an airport and some of our troops come in from a flight and they come walking through and people stand up and start going and start clapping for our troops. I like that. And I like to see people going up and shaking their hand. Thank you for serving our country. Thank you for serving our country. I mean, that does something to me when I see that. But this verse right here is talking about something so much bigger than a football game, even bigger than thanking our troops. It's talking about giving a shout of praise and worship to God. To God, the Creator. He says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. This is a call to Israel, but it's more than just Israel. He's saying, not only is Israel to shout out praise to God, but the entire earth is to shout out praise to God. If you remember before Jesus went to the cross, and we sang about what he did on the cross in that last song, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and if you remember what's called the triumphal entry, where he gets on a colt that no one had ever sat on before, and he's riding on this colt into Jerusalem, and people are taking their coats off and laying them down as he goes in. When he goes in there, people are shouting with a loud voice, and they're praising, and they were waving palm branches. People were so excited because the Messiah was coming in to Jerusalem. But the Pharisees weren't excited. And if you read through that story, here's what happened. The Pharisees come to Jesus, and they said this, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." The reason is because they were giving him praise as the Son of God and they didn't believe he was the Son of God. And here's what Jesus tells them. Jesus said this, "I tell you," speaking to these Pharisees, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Jesus said this, "Oh, you want me to silence the people that are giving me praise? Well, if I silence them, let me just tell you, all creation would give me praise. These rocks would cry out because all creation was created to give God praise." When Jesus was crucified on the cross, if you remember, he said, "It is finished," and he died, and the veil rent from the top to the bottom. But what happened with the earth? The Bible says the earth shook and the rocks were split. All creation, all history points to this single event of the Messiah coming and dying on a cross that would pay for our sin. God will be praised. So the psalmist said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." And then let's look at verse 2. He said, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing." Charles Spurgeon said this, "As for the true believer, he serves his God because he loves to serve him." We shouldn't serve God out of duty. We shouldn't even serve God out of guilt or anything like that. We serve God because we love God. When I was a kid, there was a song we would sing in church sometime. You may have never heard of it, but it said, the name of it was, "There is joy in serving Jesus." And I remember the chorus. It said, "There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus, joy that throbs within my heart." And I was thinking of that word, throbs. You don't hear that word too much. It's like saying, my heartbeat is to worship God. My heartbeat is the joy of God. We're coming into this holiday season of Thanksgiving. It's a time to be thankful. It's a time to have joy. It's a time to serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. Listen to this quote right here, and I've got it up on the screen, by a man named Dennis Tucker and Jamie Grant in their book. It says this, "Every act of service for the Lord is an act of worship. And every act of worship is an act of service." That's an awesome statement right there. When I serve the Lord, it's an act of worship. When I worship God, it's an act of service. They're tied together is what they're saying. He says, "Come into his presence with singing." Now, I don't know anyone, or I've never met the person who says, I hate music. I've never met anyone who doesn't like music. Now, might have different styles and tastes and all that, but I've never met anyone who does not like music, likes listening to music in some form or fashion, riding in their car, or listening to it at work or whatever. I've never met that person. Maybe you say, well, I don't want anybody to hear me sing. I just don't want anybody to hear me sing. You're that person that loves to sing in the shower. I mean, you get in there, the echo and that reverb. I mean, you get in the shower and you turn into Frank Sinatra. You turn into Whitney Houston. I mean, that is you in the shower. You sound good in the shower. But it's not the most crucial part is not how good we can sing. The most crucial part is the condition of our heart. When we came this morning and we sang some songs of worshiping and praising God, it's not, man, my voice is as good as anybody in the congregation. That means nothing. It's all about our condition of our heart. Listen, when we come here and we worship God and we sing songs, it can be very moving in your life. When you're walking with God and then you're singing out praise to Him, it's a very moving thing that's in our heart. I can come to this place on a Sunday and I can forget about some things maybe that were tough during the week, and I can focus on God, and I can, as the psalmist says, come into His presence with singing. I can come into His presence with singing. In verse 3, he says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Know that the Lord, He is God. You know what's awesome is we serve the one true God. The one true God. Look at this quote from a commentary. This implies more than mental acknowledgement. This command requires a whole life affirmation that stems from complete devotion to God and worship of Him. It's more than just a head knowledge. It's a heart change. It's a heart change that I know the one I serve is the true God. It is He who made us and we are His. He is the God creator who designed you and I. Someone said this, our strengths are used to give Him praise, and our weaknesses are used to help us depend upon His power. That's so true. He continues to make us. Philippians 2:13 says this, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. You know what? God doesn't just save us and then that's just it. No, no. He continues to work in our life, to work in our life. He made us, we're His, we're His children, and we grow and grow and grow because He's constantly working in our life. He said, we're His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, it's interesting. He doesn't call us lions full of courage, or He didn't call us eagles that soar through the sky. He calls us sheep. And if you know anything about sheep, they're a helpless, timid, prone to wander off and get lost animal. But He is our shepherd, and He takes care of us. So He says, know the God you're serving. He's the one true God. He's the one who made you in His image, and you're His child. You're His people, and He is your shepherd. And then in verse 4, He says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. Back in the Old Testament time when they had the temple, to get into the temple, you had to go through what was called an outer gate. But when you went through the outer gate, you didn't go right into the temple. You went through an outer gate and you went into like a courtyard, into a court area. Then you could go into the temple. So what He's saying is this. You enter the gates with thanksgiving. And then you enter His courts with praise. And then you can go into the temple. So the psalmist here kind of gives us an order here with this. He says, you begin with thanksgiving, which leads you to praise, which takes you to worship. You say, well, man, I want to worship God, all right? It starts with thanksgiving, and then it goes into praise, and then you go to that level of worship. So praise sets the stage for worship. Someone said it's kind of like this. It's kind of like going up and ringing the doorbell, letting God know, hey, I'm here. I've come to see you, and God hears your praise and opens the door and lets you in. So we go from praise to worship to the presence of God. Worship is an audience with the King. And then verse 5, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Listen, If this psalm would have just been one line, if it would have just been five words, Psalm 100, for the Lord is good. If that's all the psalmist would have said, that would have been enough right there. That God is good. Those five words say it all. For the Lord is good. But he says that God's love endures forever, and so will we. The psalmist said that God is faithful to us. And the psalmist found him worthy of our thankfulness, praise, and worship. As I close today, I want us to notice this. Thankfulness is part of the foundation of the Christian life. Part of the foundation of my Christian walk is thankfulness. It's hard for me to serve God if I'm not thankful. It's hard for me to do anything for God if I'm not thankful. Thankfulness is a conscious response that comes from looking beyond the blessing to the source of the blessing. Who is the source of the blessing? Well, it's Jesus Christ. You remember the story of the 10 lepers? The 10 lepers, leprosy, that contagious disease that if you had, you couldn't live at home, you couldn't be with your family, you couldn't touch anyone. If somebody came up on you as soon as you were getting close to them, you had your face covered and you had to yell out, unclean, unclean, because you could not be in a village or community. You could have nothing to do with anybody else unless they were a leper. They were social outcasts. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and he sees 10 lepers. These men evidently knew who he was because this is what they said. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus doesn't go over as he does in some other miracles and touch them, or he didn't spit on the ground and wipe it and put it on them. He doesn't do anything like he did the other miracles. This is all he does. He just says something. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. Now, the priests were the ones that had to say, you are cleansed. They were the only ones that could say, you're cleansed. You can go back with your family into the village. It had to be from the priest. So he says, go show yourself to the priest. And the scripture says, and as they went, they were healed. Their faith of saying, okay, I believe what he said, and turning and going, and believing what he said, on their way, somewhere in there, they were healed. They looked down and said, wow, my hand looks, look at my hand now. Look at my face now. They were healed, it says. But if you know the story, one of them, a Samaritan, stops, and the Bible says he comes back to Jesus, and he falls on his face at the feet of Jesus. He comes back to give him thanks for what he had done. And Jesus gives him this question. He says, where are the nine? Where's the other nine? Where's the other guys? Why didn't they come back with you? Of course, this guy has no answer for that. His heart had turned back to God, but the other nine didn't. Only one person considered the source of the blessing. Only one person said, it's Jesus Christ. I've got to go back and thank him. Those of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we've also been healed, but it's a spiritual healing. It's a healing from the inside out. It's a salvation. It's more than our physical bodies. We've been given the free gift of salvation. And if we're not careful, we will get used to it. We will be saved for a while and we will just forget about being grateful and thankful for what God has done for us. Maybe you were saved many years ago, and if you're not careful, you'll just take it for granted because you've been saved for so long. You can't be like the nine lepers who forget to come back and give thanks. Let's not forget what Christ has done for us. Let's not forget the source of our salvation during this Thanksgiving season. Our worship should be greater because we're thankful. Our prayers should be stronger because we're thankful. And our lives should bring glory to God because we're thankful. Listen, if you're here this morning, and maybe you came with a friend or someone, and maybe somebody invited you, or maybe you've been coming, but you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have this salvation to be thankful for. Today can be your day of salvation. Today could be the day you experience this free gift of salvation that Jesus Christ paid for on a cross like we sung earlier. You can accept him as your Savior. He will forgive your sin and come into your heart. And it will be one of those great moments where they used to stack up stones. It'll be that moment in your life when you say, that's the day I got saved. That's the Sunday I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That day could be today if you've never been saved. I want us to bow our head and close our eyes right now. Josh is going to come, and we're going to worship God in some song here just at the end. But I want to say something, first of all, to those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Are we as thankful and grateful as we should be? Not only for our salvation, but for all of those blessings that God brings into our life. I got to admit with you, sometimes I get blessed and I don't even think of the source. I forget that it's God that brings blessings in my life. I have things to be thankful for, but I forget to praise God for it. Let's be a church. Let's be a family. Let's be an individual Christian that remembers what God has done for us, not only during this week of Thanksgiving, but every day in our life. What do you have to be thankful for today? Your children Christians? You're blessed with family? You got a job? There's so many things to be thankful for. Let's be a thankful family of God, that we can be used of God.